morning and thank you for the opportunity once again to gather and to learn about you and to interact with each other and get to know each other and be an encouragement to each other. And we thank you for that opportunity. And we thank you for the food that we get to share together. Thank you for the teams that prepare it every week. Thank you for their hard work, their sacrifice, their generosity, their willingness to serve. Lord, thank you for a church that serves and is generous. We are really, really grateful for that, Lord, because you are a generous God who never stops giving. You've given us everything that we need to know you and have a relationship with you, Lord. So I pray that we would take advantage of that, because that's what you want us to do. You want us to learn about you and to be close to you and experience your joy and your goodness. Thank you for that opportunity today. And Lord, we just pray that you be with Grant as he speaks in a little bit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, come on up. Let's see what we got. Can't use that microphone.
And to love others. Really?
Yeah. True. Sorry.
Go away.
You might want to read that scripture.
I'm trying. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice
hospitality.
Romans 12:9-13.
Oh, sweet.
That sound. The first instance I ever heard the female man joke was, this is telling you how much I know about The Simpsons from my childhood. So the first season of The Simpsons, it was the 10th episode, where Bart goes up and answers the door, and there's a mailman, and he's like, hello, mailman, and he's like, I'm a female, and he's like, hello, female man. The episode is about Bart getting really bad grades in school and then having to work through it and staying at home the whole time and trying to study. But anyway, not particularly important to anything. I need to flaunt my Simpsons knowledge because my parents raised me poorly and had me watch it all the time. But look, as long as you don't say any of those words, you're fine. I'm like, okay. So, last week, my dad came up to me and asked if I wanted to preach this upcoming Sunday. I said, sure, what should I preach on? He said, I don't know, we have a few weeks until we start the Gospel of John, so think of something. So I did, and here I am. Boy, that was a mistake. I'm going to start with sharing going back to the one verse that we did, that sums up most of my thoughts here before we dive into our subject. You can try your best to figure it out. I'll try to enunciate it a little bit so you can get the idea of what this subject is, but it could be tricky to figure it out. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So, if you didn't really figure that out, I know it can be tricky. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to reminisce a lot about my childhood. And I'm going to explain a little bit how good I am at the thing I'm preaching. This is all a big vanity show about me, so buckle in. So, for those of you that haven't figured it out yet, drum roll please, we will be talking about hospitality. Incredible. So, hospitality and hosting is really, really important to me, and if you didn't know, there's actually an acronym for it. We have hosting, which is the next slide. For those who don't know, stands for have over some tired individuals needing generosity. This topic is a very important aspect to our church. that really kind of goes along with our summer theme as well of the essential tenets of City's Edge that we've been going over. We did touch on community and that aspect of what really brought City's Edge together and what defines us as a group, but I think I'd want to go a little bit more specific with that realm, and I think that this on its own merit is worth talking about. Because hospitality, I think, has defined our community quite a bit. I also think it's been incredibly influential in the way that I do ministry. Now, I grew up in a household that had a passion for hosting, for hospitality. And even though we were dirt poor, we had an incredible place for it. Some of you probably remember the house in the forest. This place was really cool. So it was like a house that was on an acre of forest property. It was a really nice, big, kind of wooden house with thousands of termites and squirrels that would throw their nuts down on our tin roof and cause lots of noise early in the morning. My dad had a way to handle that. You can ask him about that personally. We had a squirrel graveyard. So, it was a really cool place because it had these like huge open spaces, a good-sized dining room that could stretch out into the living room when we had like 30 people over. It was incredible. And I basically remember two things from my childhood about that house. I lived there for 10 years, roughly. And it was like during those peak years, it was like six to 16, something along those lines. It was a really cool place. But my memory is composed of two things. One, building forts, just playing in a huge forest. And two, having people over all the time. All the time. When I tell people we almost always had people from our church crashing on our couch or coming over for a mental breakdown or whatever it might be, they asked if it was a hard experience for me. They're like, wow, your parents were in ministry. They were dealing with all of this stuff, and you just had to kind of take it all in and go through all of it. Like, was that really hard for you? But it wasn't. I loved it. I loved having people in our house. I gained an understanding of what hospitality-based ministry was. It's having people over. It's letting them see your home, see your life, and becoming comfortable in that space. And that part is a little bit tricky too. This is where I'm going pretty deep on some stuff pretty quickly. I am a firm believer, and I inherited from my mom, that the space we live in represents who we are. And this goes beyond just being tidy or messy. That part doesn't matter. But it often, just the stuff we have, displays an intimate part of ourselves that we aren't always comfortable sharing with others. Home is, it's home. Our life is fully on display there. People can see how we live, how we relax, what we love, all sorts of things that compile into a very unique picture of identity that you can't get anywhere else. And it's so deeply personal that depending on what movies you have on your shelves, what books are on your table, what sort of old to-go bags you have that are on your dining room table. One time I went over to the guy's house like a couple weeks ago with like Brad and Chris, and there were like 20 pizza boxes that were Williams just stacked in a huge pile. That's part of his personality. But it can be scary to show that kind of thing to other people because it's intimate. I grew up in a house that was open for people to know, and it represented my family really well. And it went beyond just having them over. People knew how we lived. They knew our schedules, our very lives inside and out. That never changed. When Stephen came over, he always went shopping with us at Winco. It was just a regular thing. He helped us put food away in our fridge. He helped us do dishes, stuff like that. When we had Russ over during his disaster years, he watched our evening shows with my dad and I. When Raceland spent the night, he knew exactly where to find his bedding. We just had these people that were fully invested in our lives, knew our space, knew how we lived, knew who we were. This was so formative for me. And I didn't just learn it from my parents, not by a long shot. Annette and David's Sunday night dinners were the most consistent part of my life for decades. That was the one regular thing that I had for over 20 years of my life. Bowler's house was the safest refuge from the summer heat you could possibly have. Beth and Boogie had me over to spend the night all the time for years, and it became my literal second home. Doug in December let me know that every time I spent the night as a kid, I could show back up without anything, and they would take me in. These people fundamentally changed my perspective on ministry with their hospitality. It made me feel like I knew them so much more because I saw their lives and I lived it with them. It was through these instances that I recognized how critical hosting was in establishing a strong community. And it explained how important it was in defining the values that we carried as a congregation. That we were in each other's lives. But I'll touch a little bit more on that soon. In 2018, my perspective of hospitality was taken to the next level when Mark and Laura Lee Franklin gave us keys to their house. Let me say that again, keys to their house. And no, this was not just for emergencies. They told us if we ever wanted to come over, we could show up unannounced. And we did. Wow. Even when they weren't at home and out on vacation.
Nice.
Rebecca and I had dates in their house. We built a blanket fort and watched Moonstruck. She cooked me dinner. Like, this was a regular occurrence in their house when they weren't there. That's crazy.
Was there a chaperone?
No, of course not. We were in our 20s. It was fine. Don't worry about it. We're married now. Everything's cool.
We're going to talk about this.
But they lived in such an authentic way that we got to see every part of their lives. We got to experience it all with them. It was hospitality at its peak. And it's certainly something I would not recommend to everyone, or almost anyone. Mark and Laura Lee were absolutely insane for doing that. But what matters more is how seriously they took that concept. Hospitality isn't just a thing we do because we want to, but because it's biblical. It's pertinent for churches, for communities, for Christians, for everyone. Because we're a Bible church, I decided it might be good to reference not just one scripture, but two. Hold your horses, everyone. It's about to get crazy. I'm a madman, I know. In the hectic life of Paul the Apostle, he experienced hospitality a lot. In fact, it was central to his conversion. Ananias took him in, cared for him, and set a precedent for Paul's life as a no-good, vagrant apostle. Looking through Acts, there's many instances where Paul relied on the hospitality of those around him, providing for him as he began his ministry. This was just a regular thing in his churches, but the one that stands out most to me is in 2 Timothy. May the Lord show special kindness to one Sypharis, I believe that's it, and all his family because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return, and you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. Onesiphorus is not a big name in the Bible, and it's hard to say, so I'm just going to call him Onesie. But I love the subtlety of his contribution. He and his family sought out Paul. They provided hospitality for him. They reached out. This is what we often miss. The reference in 2 Timothy alludes to more than just basic kindness, but a pursuit of love. Ones he knew that Paul was in dire straits and had no shame in providing care for him. It was compassion without concern about status or pride or anything. It was just seeking out Paul intentionally, taking that step, and it's that intentionality that we miss. Often we're at least thinking about going over to someone else's house and eating food. Yeah, that's great, whatever. But doing it ourselves, regularly, inviting, that's work. And that can be really hard. And I have a lovely, lovely example because I'm such a nerd, and I don't know how much of it we're gonna watch, but I love this. But here's my wonderful example of Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit with his variation of hospitality.
Dwalin, at your service. Bilbo Baggins, yours.
Do we know each other?
No.
Is it down here?
It is what? Down where?
Supper. He said there'd be food.
He said? Who said?
Very goodness. Any more?
What? But oh, sorry, yes. Ah. It's just that I wasn't expecting company.
That'll be the door.
Balin, at your service.
Good evening.
Yes, it is. So I think it might rain later. Am I late?
Late for what?
Oh! Evening, brother.
By my beard, you're shorter and wider than last we met.
Wider, not shorter. Sharp enough for both of us.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt, but the thing is, I'm not entirely sure you're in the right house. It's not that I don't like visitors. I like visitors as much as the next hobbit. But I do like to know them before they come visiting.
I don't know. I'm just putting cheese.
The thing is,
gone blue.
It's riddled with mold. The thing is, I don't know either of you. Not in the slightest. I don't mean to be blunt, but I had to speak my mind. I'm sorry.
Apology accepted. Feely.
And Keely. At your service. Yeah. You must be Mr. Boggins.
No, you can't come in. You come to the wrong house.
What? There's been cancelled.
No one told us. No, nothing's been cancelled.
Oh, that's a relief.
Careful with these. We're just out of sharpened.
It's nice, this place. Did you do it yourself?
Well, no, it's been in the family for years. That's my last glory box. Can you please not do that?
Really? Come on, give us a hand. Mr. Dwyer.
Let's shove this in the hole, otherwise we'll never get everyone in.
Everyone? How many more are there? Left there. Where do you want this?
Oh, no.
No, there's nobody home! Go away and bother somebody else! There's far too many dwarves in my dining room as it is. If this is some blockhead's idea of a joke, I can only say it is in very poor taste.
Okay.
Gandalf.
I really love this. And I could just watch the rest of the movie because this is a good one. But now, there's two conflicting parts of Grant Banham as a person. The extrovert part, who loves to do camp and be around people and engage in fellowship, and the introvert part, who wants to live in a quiet hole and eat alone. And I resonate with Bilbo so much at times. And it can be unexpected, it can come out of nowhere. It's hard to engage in that kind of hospitality, and that is very unexpected. But sometimes we really just want that quiet solitude. And that's not a bad thing. But if we want to honor some of the most important works we do as Christians, we have to be intentional and we have to be willing. We have to extend the hand, invite, show people our lives, and accept our responsibility as missionaries of the gospel. That sometimes, hopefully not exactly like that, but instances will come where someone will show up at your door. And for my parents, that was such a regular thing. That people knew that they could go there, knew that they could be supported. There are people in this church who, at multiple times, went over, spur of the moment, because they needed something and they knew that there was a place to be. And living in that kind of mindset, being willing to engage in that kind of hospitality, is huge. It's really challenging. I want everyone to understand that this isn't a condemnation for people who don't do this regularly. But hopefully for some of you, it's a call to action. I want us to keep this passion in the church and for us to retain the intentionality of invitation. But most of all, this really needs to transcend just your demographic. It's so simple and easy to just invite your own people over. But what I'm calling everyone out on right now is for all of you wizened older folk out there, I want you to invite young people over. What? And for all you spunky young rabble as well, I want you to invite older people over.
Careful. Careful when you pick.
Cross-contaminate. Build connections. Reach out. Host. This is a simple thing to do. And at worst, you're going to get a no. And that sucks, but then you can blame it on the other person. Practice this hospitality. Some of the most powerful conversations I've ever seen have been in an intergenerational context, in the homes of both young and old. This rarely happens naturally. It requires a depth that is best found in the homes of friends, where authenticity is laid out to bear. You don't always have to put on a face. You don't have to do what they did way back in the day and set up the fine china and make sure everything is clean and tidy. You don't always have to close the messy closet door or whatever. You can be in your space. You can invite people with where you're at, with what you have. Because that's you. Just do it. All you need to do is reach out and be who you are. Live how you live with others. It's one of the greatest tools for fellowship. It completely changed my life. It changed the way that I view ministry. It defined who we were as a community of City's Edge. The reason that we were so bonded as a church early on is because of the Wednesday night band dinners. We had those so regularly at our house. My mom made dinner for like a million people. And that was so cool for me to grow up and witness. Seeing a whole bunch of the guys out on the porch overlooking the forest playing hacky sack and Jason nearly killing himself. Seeing my mom have some really incredible conversations around a dining room table. Being able to play with my friends in my room and then just out in the forest. These memories define so much of my love for City's Edge and bonded us as the community that we are today. Because we have those connections, because we have that fellowship in those intimate settings, in those places. This stuff really matters. And I want us all to try and practice it and live intentionally in those ways. This is what I have. Now, if we have some questions, my father can take over.
I will take over.